everyone. Thanks for tuning into this week's message. My name is Gregory, and I'm part of the team here at Friends Church. Everything we do around here depends 100% on the generous donations of our local and online communities. That's people just like you who believe that life really is about leaving a positive mark on our world. So if you love what Friends Church is up to, I'd like to encourage you to contribute by going to friendschurch.ca. With that, let's jump into this week's message.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Jeff. Glad you're here this morning. If you're new, I just hope you can sit back and relax. We're starting this new Reset series, and Vince kicked it off last week. The timing, like Trevor mentioned this morning, couldn't be better, I think, coming off the Christmas break into the start of the new year. Sometimes it's easy for things to kind of head south on us really quickly. We need to kind of hunker down, to call a timeout, just get things reorganized, reshifted, rejigged, heading in the right direction. That's what we're about this morning. So glad you're here. I'm here to talk about the mental reset. And before I get into this, some of you will know this, actually, for those of you that have been around for a long time. It's something others might not know about me is that from the time I was young, I was always driven to impress and please people. Certain people. I was responsible almost to a fault, always careful not to allow myself to be put in a position that might disappoint, especially, I think, my parents. But there were others that I wanted to impress or to please. Nothing felt better in my mind than when I would do something, achieve something, whatever it was, and then to see the look on one of my parents' faces, you know, or to hear them talk about me, or to feel the hug, that hug of pride. Oh man, that was like pure gold in my veins. I mean, it just fired me up. It would motivate me. Crazy. But a number of years ago, my spiritual journey, it led me to some differences of opinion, different beliefs than perhaps my parents shared. And probably most with my dad, I suppose, and his brother, that side of the family. One night we got into it about the gay community, LGBTQ stuff. My dad is one of the most loving, caring, generous men I've ever met in my life. So I am not here to, you know, cast any. He grew up in a redneck environment, part of Alberta, and he was raised with very traditional values and beliefs in his church upbringing. As things began to shift in me, as friends of mine came out of the closet, as I began to see life from different perspectives with regard to those who are gay, I'm telling you, something changed in me. And I was sitting there over a dinner, and it went there, and I just naively thought, I don't know why, but I just thought my dad was maybe on a similar journey. Maybe he saw things a similar way, and so someone pokes up and says something that I thought was off color, and I reacted to it and said, whoa, that's a bit off. And then it got into it, and anyways, after it's all said and done, my approval ratings started to fall. I could tell. I could tell the next day. My dad isn't smiling the way he smiles always when he sees me. When he goes to give me a hug, it felt different. The way that he would ask about different things, even asking for my advice, that dried up. It was like something's changed. Remember lying awake nights with my mind spinning out of control, poring over those conversations, that one specifically, but others then, trying to think about ways I could have said it differently. My mind would try to think about or anticipate the next conversation and how I would say it differently to protect that thing from happening again. How we could kind of right the ship, how I could get the approval ratings up, how my dad could once again look at me and go, yeah, that's my boy. And I go, yeah. It was during this season that I, only in hindsight, recognized that I began to become very nervous about sharing what I honestly was thinking or believing. Maybe some of you can relate to that. I would sit there on social media and watch different things and go, if I like that, I know some of these other people who are watching me. What would they think? No, this is a sickness. But I remember at the time our church was involved very, and still it just seemed like it was more of a lightning rod issue back then. But within the LGBTQ community, many didn't feel safe in church. We were going above and beyond to say, oh, you are safe here. This is a safe place. We were recruiting volunteers to go down to the Pride Parade and rallying support and saying, putting a flag in and saying, no, enough. Let's protect these people. They are one of us. They need to be loved and treated like normal people, just like everyone else. And so we're doing all this. And yet, when Friends Church is posting all this stuff on Facebook, I'm embarrassed to say this, but I'm sitting there going, if I comment on that, if I share this or whatever, I know there's a whole part of my family community out there that are watching that. Am I ready for what that's going to bring on again? I don't know if anyone's ever felt that, but just that sense of how honest can I be with these people right here? How truthful can I be? How much can I share? And what are the consequences of that with them? Have you ever wondered how honest you could be with those you love? You know, we just came through the Christmas season. Chances are you were around some, the odds are. You were around some challenging personalities, perhaps. Even some annoying situations. Perhaps you found yourself so mentally consumed by things that were bothering you. And it had you kind of trapped in your head, maybe having all kinds of nasty thoughts, internal conversations about what you were watching or observing someone else, what they're doing, what they're saying, how they're eating. I don't know what kind of things are on your head, but it was just like, oh, and you're biting your lip. You're just like, maybe you didn't do so good at biting your lip. I don't know. In your head, you're just like, oh, frustrated, worked up inside, and perhaps it wore you out a bit. Yeah, all this is just mental games that go on in our minds. I want to talk about this morning. You know, a number of years ago, my laptop crashed. Something went wrong, and I saw that horrifying blue screen of death. How many have ever felt that? Oh, that's terrible. How many have ever got caught not backing up all your info? Oh, no! I was in denial for probably most of a day, going, no, this hasn't happened. I'm sure if I just hit if I just turn it off and turn it back, no. Finally, I had to let it go. We had to reformat the drives. We had to load back on software. We got it all going. If there was one bright light in all of it, it was that once it all started working again, my computer felt different. It was like so speedy. It was like, whoa, this is amazing. When I actually click the button, it actually does something. I don't have to wait for another screen to pop up. Or it was unbelievable. No glitching, no waiting. In some ways, it felt almost brand new. I knew it had been acting slower. I knew it had been glitching. I just didn't realize, I think, over time, how much slower, how annoying it had become. You know, in some ways, I think our minds are a lot like our laptops, computers. They're continually monitoring all the stuff that's happening around us. They're running all the time, taking in data, processing what's happening, trying to calculate ways to get what it believes you need or prevent whatever it believes you can't afford to happen from happening. It's constantly sending signals. Hello, watch out. Hey, check out that. Whatever. It's taking in all this data. At times they'll comment on what other people are doing or not doing, good or bad. It will even give you some sharp negative criticism. A lot of the times our minds, you know what, they're pretty smart. They can figure out a lot of good stuff. But other times they glitch. They take all the data and they arrive at faulty conclusions. Their data gets distorted and corrupted. What they spit out, what they begin telling us internally can't always be trusted. That is a problem. That is why a mental reset is often needed. Because what's going on in here can't be trusted always. Process of being able to sort out what is going on in here, what the voice is telling us, what can I hold as true and what can't I? You know, I'd love to tell you that the mental reset is as simple as formatting your hard drives, and 2 hours later, that thing is working like a top. But I'll tell you this, I have not yet figured out how to do it that way. The mental reset, rather, is an arduous process. It's a continuous discipline, cleansing, awareness. But there are some things that you can do to service your mind, to begin resetting. And that's the subject matter here. Ways to mentally reset our systems so that we can process what's going on in a healthy way. I'll admit, a lot of the solution, everything that I'm going to tell you this morning, the reset lies mostly in your ability to see what's going on up here. Your ability to just be aware of it. That is probably 80% of the battle. In case you haven't noticed this, you've heard me say this before, you have a mental dialogue going on inside your head that never stops. And it just keeps going and going. It keeps talking, keeps spitting out thoughts. Have you ever wondered why it talks up in there? How does it decide what to say and when to say it? Have you ever thought about that? How much of what it's saying and spitting out really turns out to be true? How much of what it says is even important? If right now you are hearing in your head, I don't even know what he's talking about. I don't have any voice in my head. If that's what's going on in your head right now, that's the very thing I'm talking about. That's the voice in the head. That's your thinker. It's your mind processing. You got one. Quit telling yourself you don't. It's trying to tell you, I don't exist. Yeah, you do. The voice can sound a lot like this. She doesn't even care for you anymore. That's why she hasn't called. She's going to break up with you tonight. You could tell. I can feel it coming. I just know it. You shouldn't even answer the phone if she calls. If she calls, you know what's happening. After 30 minutes, man, your heart rate's racing. Mind is spinning. The phone rings. It's your girlfriend or your boyfriend. She's late because it's your 1 year anniversary. And she was preparing for a surprise dinner. You're stunned. You'd forgot about your anniversary. She's not breaking up with you. She's planning a nice dinner for you. She says she's on her way to pick you up. Well, now you're excited. Now that mind, now it's thinking, how great is she? She's awesome. You're lucky. In a moment, you've forgotten about the bad advice your mind had just given you. And you're now thinking about the new set of advice. The new thought. This is how the mind works. If you want to do a mental reset, the lion's share of the work lies in your ability to notice what messages your mind is most often sending you. What it's constantly focusing on and thinking deeply about, and how trustworthy what it's saying actually is. Michael Singer says, there is nothing more important to true growth than realizing that you are not the voice in your head. You're the one who hears it. I don't think people really understand how profound this is. You are not your voice in your head. You are the one who notices what it's saying. When that shift happens, you are already 80% of the way to a mental reset. But most of us become so identified with our thinking, we don't know the difference. We think we are the voice. If you watch it objectively, if you're able to get out from it and look at it, pay attention to what it's talking about, what it's often saying, you will come to realize that much of what the voice says is meaningless. Most of the talking is just a waste of time and energy. In fact, your thoughts have far less impact on the world than you would like to think. If you're willing to be objective and watch all of the thoughts, you'll see that the vast majority of them have no relevance. They have no effect on anything or anybody except you. Your thoughts are simply making you feel better or worse about what is going on now, what has gone on in the past, and what might go on in the future. It's all your thoughts are doing, making you feel good or bad. When you begin paying close attention to the things your mind is most occupied with, you will likely begin to find a pattern. Again, this is ninja level. Most people will never know what their mind's patterns are. They just keep going through the same insanity again and again and again. As soon as you can step back, And really pay attention, you will begin to see patterns, things it likes to focus on, things it's saying to you commonly, things that it's most annoyed by. I shared with you earlier that for whatever reason, my voice in my head seems most often concerned with what other people are perceiving or observing of me. For whatever reason, from the time I was young, so my mind will coach me on all kinds of areas of public perception. It will, and despite what maybe some will think, it will coach me on what to wear, all right? It will say, hey, whoa, you're not going out there looking like that, are you? Now, look it, we'll all have a little bit of this. Mine just majors on this kind of stuff. What people will see of my marriage, my family, how my boys act. I'm just like, ooh, gotta be, don't let that get, guys, let's keep that on the down low. No social media on that stuff, okay? What happens at home? What happens in Vegas? Okay? Grandma and grandma don't need to know about that stuff, okay? How I talk, what I believe and do, these are all matters of how people might perceive me, approve of me or not. This is common with people who derive a sense of value based on what their peers or loved ones think of them. This is just, we're people pleasers. This is one type. This is one pattern. It was King Saul in the Bible who melted down after hearing his people sing songs about David, one of his warriors. They're going, oh yeah, Saul is great, but David, Saul kills his thousands, but David is 10,000. David had just cut down Goliath, the big Philistine enemy. The whole, Israelites were going, freaking out, going, yes, that a boy, you're so proud of him. And Saul is killing him. Why? He wants the approval of the people. He wants them singing those songs about him, not him. And what happens? Something starts working in his mind saying, David is a threat. Take him out. It's a sad, sad tale about Saul. Because literally he loses his kingdom. He loses his life, loses his relationship with his boy. He loses everything trying to eradicate David, to take him down. And you know what's so sad? Is his paranoia, this threat that was perceived. It was so erroneous. David would do anything for Saul. He was his Saul's son's best friend. He was loyal to the end. He would do whatever Saul did. If Saul would get into these bad moods, David would come play the harp, trying to soothe him. Anything the Bible said that the King Saul asked of David, David would do, and he would do it well. He gave him no reason to feel threatened. And yet, this thing in his mind that so badly wanted the approval of people said, I've got to get rid of that guy. Destroyed him. For me, a big part of the reset process with this thing has been about downgrading the alarm levels that my mind can set off when it perceives a threat to my approval rating. I've learned that my mind can be hypersensitive to people being upset with me. Try to convince me that certain people won't respect or love me if my life looks a certain way. Or somehow my life will suffer if someone disapproves. If I piss someone off, all of a sudden now it's gonna impact my life negatively in some way. So you're always trying to subtle. And I've grown stronger at identifying it. But too many times now over the years as I begin to understand this madness, I've proven that the voice is not always accurate. Someone asks me to go out, let's go for a meeting. They say, can we do Monday? Well, I know instantly, Monday's my day off. And I've already made plans with Kathy, but they seem like Monday's important to them. And in a nanosecond, I'm thinking, just say yes, Jeff. Kathy will understand. So often, yes, sure, Monday, great. But there have been times when I go, you know what? Monday won't work for me. And in my mind, in a nanosecond, I'm expecting, oh, you're kidding. I'm expecting that. But when they say, oh, yeah, no problem. What other day? And it happens so quickly, I'm going, oh, that's not what I was expecting. But that's beautiful. That felt nice. Don't tell me I'm a madman. You've felt this before, haven't you? Yeah, it happens. And you go, oh, wow. And a little bit, you begin to realize, whoa, that's not how it works. My reset involves my ability to push past the alarm system. We're going, whoa, no. No, it's not that way. They won't mind. Be true to yourself. Let the chips fall where they may, Jeff. Say no. Part of my reset has required me to be a little bit more introspective, thinking about what I believe, what I think, what I want of my life. If you're a people pleaser, you don't spend any time thinking about that mostly. You're a chameleon. You've learned what everyone else wants and needs. And so you've fashioned your life toward that. And you go, okay, what do you need? Okay, yeah, I can do that. I can be that. Jeff, what do you think? I don't know. What do you think? Part of my reset says, no, what do I think? What do I want? Here's what I believe. Here's what I think on that matter. Oh, you asked me? Let me tell you what I think. And learn to live with them going, no, it's okay. Learning to be true to yourself more is what is the mental reset for you people pleasers in the crowd. Trusting that the people who truly love you They do so not because you do what they want you to do, but because you are truly being you. I'm telling you, it's so simple to think about. It is so difficult to work out. But I'm telling you, the mental reset for me is about honing back, going, yeah. Okay, true to me. And when I do, what's weird is, even when I do piss someone off, when I've been true to myself, I'm telling you, I'm not left with resentment afterwards going, why the hell did I say that? Why did I commit to this anyways? Okay, let's move on. We're not all like me. And you can be thankful for that. You're going, man, I got nothing of that in me. I don't care who I please. Screw all of you. Well, let me talk to you. You people have a different pattern, perhaps. You're more focused on your own goals or desires, perhaps. This is one. I'm going to talk about three quickly. Some people's internal dialogue focuses more on getting what it wants or desires, achieving its goals. Or it fixates on what's getting in the way of what it really wants. You already know what you want. You might not be worried about what everyone else wants. You already know what you want. And now your mind is focused on anything that's getting in the way of what you want. How many know what I'm talking about here? Yeah. You can start pointing out stuff, getting annoyed by it. Why can't people just be smarter? Why do I have to explain all this stuff? I just wanted to get this done in 5 minutes. Stupid questions popping up. Why can't that guy learn to drive? That is annoying. Get out of the... Why can't my partner stop saying that in these gatherings? Drive me nuts. My kid keeps falling down. He should be a straight grade A student. Not. You need to talk to him. You need to stop that. This is how the mind, it's just focused on anything that's not getting what it thinks that you should have. If I could just convince that person to do this or to stop doing that, then it'd feel good. If I could just stop them from leaving that there in that place, then my life goes better. It's always focused on getting something it believes you need. Bad. If this is you, your voice in your head can just be constantly bothered, frustrated with why life isn't better. Why does that person have what I should have? I deserve that. That's how it can sound. You can be constantly fixating on what you don't have, what you need. Working overtime to just figure out ways to get it. Here's the crazy thing about this form of mental pattern. Sometimes your mind becomes so convinced that you need something that isn't remotely even possible. Sometimes its expectations are completely unrealistic. You're not going to get home in 15 minutes. Hello, it's rush hour. Back off. Quit driving like an animal. Slow your mind down. You're going to get home when you get home. Gets worked up. Your kid might never be a grade A student. Might never be. So the pressure you're applying and that sense of your marriage might not ever look like what you read about in the magazine. Your job might not be the perfect thing you ever had in mind. Just think about the number of things that might get you really twisted up about the way your life is unfolding right now. And just consider for a second that whether your mind has created an expectation of life that is unrealistic. Oftentimes, the things that we are so worked up and stressed out about, it's a signal of a spot within that has wound up some expectation of the way, yeah, even Christmas holidays. How many of you had plans, had ideals, had a picture of how it was all going to go down, and then all of a sudden someone comes in and starts just wrecking everything? Wait, that's not the schedule. No, we were going to eat at 4, not 5. I was really hoping you'd be a lot more excited about your Christmas present. Your reaction isn't what I had anticipated. No, we would never say that, but ungrateful son of a... Again, this is a common mental pattern of some. It can get us chasing, expecting something we might never get. And the stress that it creates, the horsepower that it's generating is just massive. Working, striving to get that outcome, that goal, that desire. And when it's not happening, the mental reset for people who struggle with this kind predominant internal struggle or dialogue, it often involves a right sizing of our expectations of life. Just a right sizing of our relationships, perhaps, of our career, of our kids, of our pursuits. Some people are able to figure out that their expectations are unrealistic on their own. They're able to just kind of step back and go, wait a second, why was I so worked up about that? But there are many that will never figure that out. There are some who need to sit in a therapist's office and have the therapist looking at them saying, what are you thinking? Did you honestly think she could bring you that? She could be all of that for you? You're wrong. I don't know how the right sizing works for each of us, but I'll tell you this. Part of the mental reset for people who struggle in this kind of pattern, it's going to require a right sizing. The last mental pattern I'll mention quickly before I close is the internal dialogue that focuses around shame. It's extremely self-condemning. One would need to look no further than the story of Brené Brown, and I just bring her up because so many know of her. You've maybe seen her TED Talk. This well-known researcher, she has a PhD in social work. She has focused on authentic leadership and wholeheartedness and families and schools and organized. She came up with all this amazing research on, really, on vulnerability and shame, whatever. Her research is so unbelievable. She's getting ready to present all this life-changing information. And she is paralyzed because of this voice inside her that's so focused on her being overweight. She's crippled about the idea of going in front of people. She's hating what she's wearing. This voice is just attacking her from all sides, going, you're kidding me. You're a bit of a fraud. When they figure out kind of who you are, it's over. It's saying all these things. This is how the self-condemning, shame-induced mental pattern works. It defeats you before you even get out trying what you want to do. It's fixated on your issues, reminding you of mistakes you've made, shortcomings that you have. Vince talked about it last week. Why you don't deserve what you have or what you want. Might say, you're a fraud, come on. That compliment that she just gave you, she doesn't mean it. Don't let that feel good. She's just blowing sunshine. Yeah, when they find out about who you really are, it's over. For people with this kind of internal narrative, you're defeated before you even get going. The shaming mind can be so condemning, convincing you there's no reason to believe in yourself, to even attempt, do what you do. Man, I tell you, for someone who's got this going on in their head, life becomes so exhausting. To break free of this destructive narrative, one, first of all, has to see it, has to identify that they are not everything that mind is saying. It's lying. It's telling you stuff isn't true. You are not your mind. You are the one listening to what it's saying. You know, for whatever reason, you might have that going on in your head. Whatever it is, maybe it was someone when you're young saying, you're not smart. Oh, you're not capable. Oh, geez, you're the lazy one. You're what? Whatever, however it ended up in here, it's got some ammunition and it's become so familiar, probably for some, you don't even realize how much it's talking to you, making you think twice, second guess everything that you're wanting to do. You want a mental reset from this? You need to see it. And when you see it, I'm telling you, a lot of the reset has already happened. You can look at it and go, whoa, there you go again, trying to talk to me. Thank you. Good night. Part of it is being able to see it. All the experts in this field say, if you can see it, its power, it's like it just starts evaporating. If you can notice it. It's when you get too identified with it, you can't. Part of that is hearing it. The next part of it is being able to override it. You can't go on that trip. Oh, yeah? You can't find a great job or a girl that treats you right, that loves you for who you are. Oh, yeah? It might involve pushing past that voice in the opposite direction and saying, thank you for your advice, but I am going to do this. Let me ask you something. What is the most common pattern of your mind? Would you know? Which of these three would be most prevalent? Maybe you can identify all of them. You say all of the above in spades. I don't know. I do. I'd say all of the above. But is there a pattern that is most common? Have you ever caught it doing what it does? This would be your assignment this week. Catch it. Catch it talking. Catch it doing its thing and go, oh, there you are. Hello. Saying, I don't exist. Yes, you do. I just heard you and you're trying to convince me of this. Catch it. If you can catch it, you're 80% of the way there. I don't know about you. Maybe 7 years ago, I started discovering some of this stuff, and I can't stop talking about it because it's changed my life. It's literally helped me be true to myself more and more and more. It's brought freedom. It's challenged relationships that I would question were even relationships. It's done some amazing things in my life. And I know it's done that for some of you because I know your stories. If you want to reset yourself this year, you want to turn over a new leaf, you want your 2020 to look a little different, spot your pattern. Let's just start there. If you can move in the opposite direction, oh, even better. Done. I wish for you a mental reset where you can grow free the tyranny of the mind. You can be free to be who you truly were meant to be. Make decisions without this thing always trying to undermine you. Hey, wouldn't that be great? How about it? Let's do that. All right, so next week, here we go. We got the physical reset going on. You won't want to miss this. Vince is going to take it home. How many need a physical reset? Including me. Okay, so I'm into this. Okay? It's going to be good. Have a great week, everyone. There's artisan bread out there for sale. They're raising money. Ryan Dogger is raising money for the Mexico trip to send kids on that Mexico outreach. So by buying bread, you're sending a kid to Mexico to build homes. be awesome. Order your bread back there. Discussion group next week. All right. Have a great week, everyone.